Salford City Radio. The sound of the city.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
Welcome back to Salford City Radio and to Sue Sutton, the CEO of Salix Homes. And we've got another guest in today, Jim Battle. Jim, will you tell our listeners who you are, please?
Well, I'm Jim Battle. I'm the chair of Salix Homes. And I've been on the board now for, I think, about 7 years, haven't I? And been chair for the last, what, three or four. It's been a real privilege being the chair, and it's been a real pleasure working with the people of Salford and a great team at Salix. So I've really enjoyed it.
I was just going to start off, Joe, by saying, well, it's great to be back. Look forward to answering more questions. I have got some questions that I'll pick up after Jim's finished his section, but we've already heard from Jim, so it's great today for me not to be in the hot seat on my own and for Jim to be with me. So, you know, as Jim said, he is the chair of our board and a great chair of the board. He has and steered us through some really difficult and challenging times since he's been on the board, and both before he was chair and as a board member. So it's great really to have Jim with us, because I think it's important for our customers to understand the role of the board. And yeah, you know, we are governed by a board of non-executive directors, and the board is our main decision-making body really, so they work closely with the rest of the management team and kind of oversee and guide the organization. So despite what some people might think, I don't just make the decisions. In fact, Jim and the board make the decisions. I recommend and they make the decisions. And you know, it's a bittersweet moment for us, I suppose, because change is on the horizon. And you know, Jim's been our chair since 2020. We kind of took up the mantle together, really, Jim, didn't we?
Yep.
In the middle of a global pandemic. So he does reach the end of his term in September, and obviously I'm finishing at the end of the financial year. So change ahead, really. We are currently in the process of recruiting a new chair. We've final interviews for that later in July. You know, we are looking for someone and big shoes to fill, really, to take over the work Jim has done with the board over the last 4 years. So I am going to hand you over to Jim. He's going to talk a bit more about the board, what they do, and what they'll be focusing on in the future.
All right, thank you.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
So, Jim, tell us about the board.
Well, all our board members are really rooted people. You know, they've got knowledge about Salford, they've been engaged in community actions, they've been involved in housing, and they've got a broad experience. And I think that reflects the people who we're supporting and engaged with Salix, because we're not just about housing, we're about homes, which means people, it means neighbourhoods, it means communities, and it means a very decent house or flat or accommodation. And therefore, it's that combination. And I think our board has got a really good understanding of that. And one of the most important developments I think I've been involved in with Salix is we were very good at engaging our customers, but now we're even better. We've got a really good customer committee that is a real solid group of people who are customers, who are engaged in their communities. And that engagement with our customers, in not only through our customer committee, but right into the neighbourhoods as well, really focus the board about what we're doing. Everything we do is about making sure people's neighbourhoods, people's communities, people's homes are decent, properly supported. And, you know, if you live in a decent home, then all sorts of things happen. You know, you can fulfil your life, and I think that's what we're about. And it's making that difference that I think our board really fully understands. And I think, you know, if you look at our record about how we've dealt with the pandemic, how we've dealt with floods, how we've managed such things like, you know, the whole, it was 7 years ago, I believe, that Grenfell happened. And we had to do a lot of hard work in Salford through Salix to make sure every single home that we were managing is safe. And we've achieved that. And I think that is some of the massive things that we've been able to do. And because the board and the staff are tuned into the needs of our customers, that's how it happens. We can make it happen. And I'm really proud of that. I mean, it's not, you know, the staff are brilliant, the board is brilliant, and I've got the privilege of just sitting there steering it, really. So it's a wonderful and easy job in some respects, but there's a lot of responsibility on our shoulders.
So, Jim, can we ask how many other people are on the board with you? Perhaps give them a mention too.
Well, there's about 11 people on the board.
Right.
I'm going to say there's our chair of the customer committee on the board, full member of the board. So she attends the customer committee and then reports back, and sort of the direct link there. One of our customers, one of our board members, is actually works for a housing association in Manchester and is involved in other governance, for example, school governance. We've got a person there who's a former journalist who's got a lot of knowledge about how we present ourselves and how other people see us. That's really important. Then we've got some people who've got some expertise in finance, because that's very important. And we've got a number of people who've got an expertise in what I call development and sustainability. And we've got somebody there who's very good about understanding how we fit in to the wider Greater Manchester agenda as well. So it's a really mixed bunch of people. But one thing I think what is really good is having a diverse and mixed board, that we can actually arrive at a decision that is good. And therefore there may be difference of opinions, but we work at it to arrive at a really good decision. And I hope that the evidence is there for our customers to see.
That's a nice mix you've just said there, Jim, really. That's good.
The mix is important.
Yeah.
I think if they're all boring blokes like me, I think they would be a terrible... It's a committee made up of lots of mixed people, different points of view, which makes it very exciting, very interesting,
yeah.
But really, really strong, yeah. Really committed.
Yeah, thank you.
Your community radio station, 94.4 FM. This is Salford City Radio. Salford
City Radio. Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
Just to echo, really, I think what Jim said, because, you know, we have to make some really public, and particularly in the last few years, we've had to make some difficult decisions, difficult choices. And the board tasks us as the executive team, really, with providing the evidence to enable them to make an informed decision. And some of those decisions are difficult and sometimes not popular, but, you know, we have to do what's right and what's best for customers, for colleagues. You know, Jim's touched on some of the difficult and challenging times, particularly around floods, Grenfell, you know. We've got 19, 20 high-rise blocks now, so that was a challenge in itself. So, you know, the board bring lots of different skills and points of view as well, I think, you know, and challenge to us. I think it's probably worth mentioning that the organisation's just been through a regulatory inspections, so the regulator of social housing, who really we have to answer to, who protect social housing assets and customers who live in those assets, homes as we call them. So we've just gone through an inspection. We were one of the first to go through the kind of new regulatory inspection regime. We will know the outcome of that in July. So we'll be assessed against governance, financial viability, consumer standards, which is all about the services we provide to customers. So that's been very, very intense, I would say, over the last few months. The exec and the board and the wider colleagues from Salix really have all pulled together to put best foot forward, actually, and the best version of ourselves. Our staff work very, very hard. So it was great for us, actually, to showcase their work, Jim, I would say, would you? It was the most cathartic experience I've had in a long time, because you were able to showcase what you do and what you do well, but also talk about some of the things you'd like to do better as well. So, you know, I've had this conversation before, Jim, I think. We're not just about saying we're great at everything. We know there's things we could improve, so we have those conversations with the regulators, so we'll know by the end of July what their assessment is, and obviously we'll let customers know what that assessment is when we know.
Yeah.
All very tense at the minute, but so Jim, I don't know if you want to just give a bit of an overview of some of the things that the board have been involved with in the last 12 months and some of the other things, what's coming up.
I think, you know, one of the things about, you know, working with communities, neighbourhoods, housing, and customers is that it's always changing. It's changing rapidly, and an organisation has got to have the capacity to change quickly and to make those right decisions about how do we anticipate the change. Because if you think about it, you know, we are actually leading the way on building the new homes for the future. And you know, these homes are probably won't be, but takes about 2 or 3 years to build a home, and then they've got to last, you know, some of the properties in Salford are lasting over 100 years. So it's a long-term plan, and we've got to get it right at the first, because I think, you know, one of the things that housing, the track record of housing in many places is that there's been disasters. We've had to see old estates being demolished, you know, like, you know, tower blocks and system building have been demolished because the wrong decisions were made. And I think what we're able to do in Salix is really drill down to see how those decisions are going to affect our customers, not only for here and now, but for the future. So it's the children of the children of the children of the children who are going to be living in our properties in the future. And therefore, that's really important we do that. And I think the big decision is about how do we make sure our homes that we're building now are going to be fit for the future. You know, they've got to be low carbon, they've got to be energy efficient, and they've got to be able to be adapted to people's life changes. You know, people get disabilities in their life and various, and the need to have accessible properties. And they've got to be affordable, because if you like, one of the things that we're very clear on is that the link between, if you like, the eco agenda and also anti-poverty. And we've got to make sure that people can afford to live in the best homes possible within Salford. And I think that's the focus that we have. And that follows through on things like how we manage repairs. So when people need repairs, that there's ability to report and there's a response to that. And also we've always had a good link to our communities and neighbours, but I think we put it on turbocharge now, because we've restructured the organisation. So our staff are in those neighbourhoods, and our customers will be able to identify the right person to talk to, and it's a person in real life rather than a phone call or on a computer. Those facilities are going to be there, but there's other capacity as well. So those are two big things. One is making sure the homes that we build are going to be there, making sure that our customers have access to the services that are available, and also that we're able to work in partnership with other organisations in Salford. We're not the only organisation in Salford. There's a lot of groups, for example, the City Council, there's the Greater Manchester Police, there's the youth services, the schools, the list goes on and on and on. And our job is to work together with those to make sure all those services are focused upon these neighbourhoods. And that's a real, real agenda, because we know, and you know as well, that those services, like us, have been under great financial pressure. And therefore the squeeze is very much, and we believe that working together will help sort out some of the issues that are needed. But one of the joint campaigns that we're doing with our local authorities across Greater Manchester is saying that we need to have the proper funding to support our neighbourhoods for the future. And I think those are some of the things that the board is addressing, but making sure all along that, if you like, the day-to-day job of making sure people's homes are decent, affordable, and neighbourhoods are functioning well, and people are happy in their communities, is one of the most important things we do. So there's a whole range of things we have to do, and that happens because we've got a great a staff team behind us. This wouldn't happen if the board just made decisions and there was nobody there to deliver it, or no one coming forward with the ideas. And our staff team are really spot on that. They are able to come up with brilliant ideas. We would scrutinise them, look at them and challenge them, but by and large, no, we're in tune to make sure these things happen.
And Jill, could I just come in there as well? Because I think one of the important things that we've done in the last 12 months, and we'll continue to do as well, but the board challenged us around kind of the makeup of our customers and what we actually knew about our customers and accessibility to services, and were there any groups of customers who were struggling to access services. So we launched, and I've talked about this before on one of the previous shows, we launched our what we called our Getting to Know You census last year. And this was where the board said, you need to know all about the people who are living in our homes. We need to understand if they are struggling to access services. So our intention is to engage with every single customer. And we have a survey called a Getting to Know You survey. We've got a third party organisation who are working on that with us. So far, out of our 8,000 customers, we're probably halfway through that. So 4,000 Getting to Know You surveys have been filled in. And what that has enabled us to do is to tailor services. So some people who may struggle to report repairs or need extra time to come to the door or might have mobility issues or their property might not be right for them anymore or whose language is first language isn't English, all of those things we've been able to speak to and get, you know, better understand at least half of our customers. We've also revamped our website really, so there's lots of things on there now where people can access information. There's a specific tool on there which, if you know, if your first language isn't English, it'll be translated for you so you can understand. So the board tasked us with making sure that we do know our customers. So what I would say to anyone really who hasn't filled in that Getting to Know You survey, if you are approached, if you're contacted, the more information you can give us, the better. Then, you know, we can make sure the services you receive are meet your needs. Our next quarterly Everybody in the Office and Out on the Estates Day is on 4th September. And the focus there will be for all the organisations. So everybody goes out on the estates. But the focus there is going to be knocking on those doors where we haven't got that information. It's not that we're being nosy, it's just that we want to make sure that we kind of understand what your needs are. So help us to do that if you can by speaking to one of our officers, and we'll take that information. It's all confidential, but it helps us to help you really.
I just think that's another example of how caring Salix is as an organisation.
Yeah. Well, I think it's moved away from the old day where, you know, it was assumed every, you know, one size fitted all to come in. And what we have recognised, and it's, you know, I think we've recognised for a bit, but I think we're building on that, is that, you know, people come in very different shapes and sizes, and the Salford community is changing rapidly, as all communities are. And I think we have to keep up to speed to that, because to tailor, as Sue says, to tailor our services to meet people's needs is really important, because it's valuable as well, and value for money, because if we're providing services that people don't want or we're missing the target, then that is a waste of our money, a waste of our tenants' money, our residents' money. And it's to make sure that we can get those services right into the places where they're needed most. And that's why I think this, you know, the getting to know people is really important. And also, from my point of view, going out there, meeting our customers has been a real value as well. I mean, you know, that one-to-one chat, talk to people, meeting them, they meet me, I meet them, is really important. And I think that you know, I've learnt a lot from that process, and I think that has been helped me in making decisions better by getting to know who our customers are.
Yeah, it must definitely break down some barriers as well when people, because people can put that face, which is, and that friendly person to the name.
Well, I hope it's a friendly
face, I think. Well, yeah, because I think, you know, a chairman of the board can be a bit quite scary, but, you know, when you, obviously, Jim, you're not scary at all, you're lovely.
Oh, thanks. So,
Salford City Radio, the sound of the city. Your community radio station, 94.4 FM. This is Salford City Radio. City Radio. Salford
City Radio. Let's Talk Housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
I think one of the other important elements of this when we're talking to customers is customers understanding what we can't do as much as what we can do. And having those conversations, because we are what we call an anchor organisation and very firmly rooted in Salford, then we are the go-to for lots of people. But some of the issues people have, we can't deal with. We can help and support and signpost.
Yeah.
But it's difficult sometimes because, you know, I wish we could solve everything for everybody, yeah. but it's just not possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, really important that we speak to people. And some of the questions we've had actually, which we'll come on to in a sec, but some of the questions we've had this time is about some of those issues that we can't solve alone.
Yeah. And it'd be wrong if we did solve them alone, because there's, you know, there's other organisations there, you know, for example, funding through the NHS for people with, you know, disabilities and people with mental health issues that are there. And we've got to make sure that they hit their target as well. So the information that we gather and engage with others is about building that picture. And therefore, it's absolutely right. Now, we cannot do everything, and we shouldn't do everything, because there's a whole range of services out there that should be functioning to give that support. And I think that's the key message I think we're giving to people.
Yeah. There's a lot of value to that wider teamwork, isn't there? Everybody working together.
Yeah, because other people learn from us and we learn from them. I mean, I think that's the engagement where you can actually get this, you know, one team approach to neighbourhoods, which involve a number of organisations.
Just before I move on to the question, I'd probably just like to take this opportunity to thank Jim, actually, for providing a deeper insight into the work of the board, but also to thank him, actually, for his hard work and commitment during his time as a chair. He has given up so much of his time to support us through some of these challenging times, probably over and above really what would be expected of him. So, you know, on behalf of colleagues, customers, I just would like to thank Jim for his time as chair.
Your community radio station, 94.4 FM. This is Salford City Radio. City Radio.
Salford City Radio. Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
We have had some questions, Dale, from just what we've talked about probably segues quite nicely. We've had some comments and questions from customers about fly tipping.
Yeah.
So fly tipping is a big issue in our communities. We do get lots of comments and reports about it. It's a huge issue in Salford, I think, and my responsibility for removing some of the illegally dumped waste doesn't necessarily lie with us. The scale of the problem is putting additional pressures on other public services like ourselves, I think. Customers do report fly tipping to us, and we do have an environmental services team who actively will go out and clear fly tipped waste. But that does divert resources really and funding away from some of the other areas that we do have direct responsibility for. You know, having said that, we want communities to be safe, clean, green. Some of the places that we are responsible for, some of the neighbourhoods, we've previously done clampdowns to raise awareness of, because fly tipping is a crime and I don't think people understand that. So we like to encourage people to take more pride in where they live. We've done initiatives where we've searched through fly tipping waste bin bags. I've had officers searching through bin bags just to try and identify who the perpetrators are. We've been able to trace people from discarded medicine bottles, details on them, letters, discarded letters, name and address and stuff. So we have been able to address where those are our tenants, but we don't have enforcement powers. And again, I think people think we do, but we don't. We do not have enforcement powers. We can issue tenancy warnings if we find out who the perpetrator of fly tipping is, but that's probably the most we can do. But it is a serious offence, this. It carries a fine of up to £50,000 or a 5-year prison sentence. And you know, the police have powers to seize vehicles used in fly tipping, so it the ramifications of it are quite serious. And we've talked about going out in neighbourhoods and our wind days quarterly in the office and out on estate days, but at our last wind day we removed from one of our neighbourhoods, so we did a major litter pick, But across our estates, we cleared 48 bags of rubbish. And that's massive. Absolutely massive.
Why has it increased, fly tipping? Or has it not increased? Has it always been like this?
I think it probably has increased. And some of it, I think, is because, you know, you're trying to encourage people to recycle, aren't you? And you, do you know what I mean? Take responsibility. But, you know, again, I think people can't get to a tip, or people can't pay for rubbish to be removed. But it is a massive issue. So, you know, 48 bags of rubbish. Some of our tipping costs are astronomical. Mm. And that is taking money away from some of those services that we'd love to deliver more of, I think. So I think, you know, what I would say to our listeners is report incidents of fly tipping. You can do it directly to Salford Council's website, or if you're Salford Homes customers and it's an issue, you can report it to us. We will do our best to remove it, but technically speaking, we don't have the money to remove every bit of fly tipping in Salford. So be vigilant is all I'd say. If you kind of know who's doing it, then speak to us in confidence. I think that is all I would say. And then another question we've had a question from a resident who lives in one of our over 55s housing schemes, previously known as sheltered schemes, I would say. But so they've asked us, why do you change our housing officers at sheltered schemes and we're not informed of the changes? I'd like to apologise if you weren't informed of the changes. I think I've talked in previous shows, and James have touched on it as well today. We've recently changed our organisation structure, the way we were. So we do have more housing officers out in our communities. And this was kind of as a result of us coming out of COVID, where, you know, we'd lost that contact, I think, with customers. So board made an active decision to increase the number of housing officers to make sure that everyone had a responsibility for a specific patch or area, so that people can get to know who that person is. And the aim is for everyone to know who their housing officer is, so that there is a familiar face out in the communities. They're available to answer questions and concerns, whether you want to report an issue with antisocial behaviour, fly tipping, as we've just talked about, or you need additional support, then I think housing officer should be your first port of call. So with regards to this particular question, we acknowledge that there have been some changes with the teams, and while we've been recruiting new officers and kind of getting to grips with the new ways of working, we've probably had less resources than we would have wanted to. But those new teams are now in, vacancies are all filled, they're all embedded, and we've arranged for the new housing officer at this particular sheltered scheme to go out and meet with this customer directly. We've also recently launched a new section on our website where you can find out who your housing officer is for the area, and that way you can put a face to a name, if you like. You can find out a bit more about them, how to contact them. So I'd encourage you to have a look at that. And if you search for your housing officer on the website, you'll be able to access it. Probably also add as well, for our sheltered schemes particularly, or our over 55 independent living schemes, we do have regular surgeries and drop-in sessions where you can meet directly with your housing officer and ask any questions or report issues. We have an events calendar on the website, so you can check those dates, or, you know, if you see your housing officer at your scheme, then ask them for the dates and they'll kind of give you a list of those dates. And also keep an eye on our Facebook page where we do advertise surgeries. We also had a secondary question from the same customer who said they don't have anywhere to store mobility scooters, and I absolutely don't disagree with that. I think when our over 55s schemes, sheltered schemes, were first developed many years ago, they didn't cater for the amount of mobility scooters that we potentially would have. People are living independently longer with aids and adaptations, and some of those may be mobility scooters. So there is an issue, we know, in some of those schemes. Well, I've asked our investment team and development team to kind of go out and have a look to see. And we've done some of this in the past. There just isn't the space to build something bespoke for mobility scooters. What we are doing now is we are looking at over 55s independent housing schemes for the future. and they will be catered for in those schemes, hopefully in the future. I just would add, though, that, you know, your mobility scooters must be safely stored so they don't block access to fire escape routes. And they can't be, shouldn't be stored in communal corridors, actually, as it could block escape routes and stuff. If you have a mobility scooter, it's important you let us know about it so we could check there is sufficient space to store it safely. So again, you know, speak to your housing officer in the first instance, and that might not be the answer that people want, but we are trying to deal with it in the best way we can with limited space, I suppose.
Your community radio station, 94.4 FM. This is Salford City Radio. City Radio. Salford
City Radio. Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
And then a couple of other questions. One of the questions from our customer who lives in one of our high-rise buildings. Can anything be done about pigeons in high-rise flats? Are we allowed to buy netting? I've tried everything from fake crows to plastic spikes. Nothing works. I fill at least 2 carry bags every 2 weeks for bird waste. And again, I don't disagree. So some of the design of our high-rise buildings make it easier for pigeons to land on some of the balconies and all of those things. This particular block and this particular question where this customer lives, his Grey Friar Court, we are currently about to embark on a multi-million pound investment in that block. Lots of improvements going on there. So the design team are looking at, can we find a way to make it harder for pigeons to kind of land on some of those balconies? So we are trying to address that. So again, hopefully when we are out on Grey Friar and White Friar Court doing the investment work, there'll be an opportunity for customers to speak to our contractor, our staff, to kind of have these conversations. Because whilst it might not seem a big issue to some people, if you live in a high-rise building, actually it can be. Mm. And we've tried lots of things ourselves as well. So bear with us if you live on Grey or White Friar Court. We are trying to design some of those things out.
Your community radio station, 94.4 FM. This is Salford City Radio. City Radio. Salford
City Radio. Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
The final question we had was from a customer who wanted to know when they were getting a new kitchen and bathroom. She'd been told 2026. We went back and asked the customer for a name and address so that we could get in touch with her individually. And so far, they haven't come back. If anybody wants to ask a specific question of us, if they give us their details, then we can come back to them and update them on an individual basis, really. And that was it, I think, with the question. And for me, I think, just thanks to anyone who's listening, thanks to anyone who's sent questions in, any of our customers. Mm. And a reminder, really, if you do want to submit a question for the next show, you can do it via our Facebook page, our website, or by emailing our marketing team at marketing@salixhomes.co.uk. And again, thanks for listening, and we look forward to the next one.
Thanks very much to both of you, to Sue and to Jim, for today.
Salford City Radio, the sound of the city.